guys can have a seat this morning. Well, we are thankful that you're here. It's a thank you for choosing to be with God's people and starting your new year off worshiping together. We're so thankful for that. Thank you in Lincoln and in South County for you meeting there. And we're so thankful for those of you who are joining us via online. Thank you for being there. And I just want to ask the whole church, whether you're joining us online or whether you're right here seated here in Cranston, I'm asking you to, in this year of 2022, you heard Maggie say, we are excited about the work of God and what God is doing and is going to do in our personal lives and then through our church. As we continue to seek this vision of radically changing the spiritual climate of Rhode Island, one person, one community at a time. And as we do this, see, God's going to use you. And God's going to use you who are watching online as we ask God, as we seek God and say, God, do you, here's what I'm asking you to consider. Will you consider, will you pray about when we call the church to this prayer of fasting, prayer and fasting for 21 days in January, will you use that time to consider of being a part of our core group up in Lincoln and our Lincoln location? Will you consider, we have a heart to reach the northern part of our state. That's our desire. We're still trying to seek out, God, is this the right timing yet? If you have a heart for Lincoln, Cumberland, the northern part of our state, we're asking you to join and be a part of that core group. There's just a small core group of 10 people right now that are continuing to meet there. But we would love for others to be added to that who understand the reason why they're going there is because there are people in Lincoln and Cumberland that won't make that 20-minute trek down here or 25 or however long it would take them, but they would show up in somewhere local. And we want to show up in that community, in that area, and say, hey, we are for you. Just like God is for us, that we want to show up there and say, we are for you. So I hope that you will pray about that. Seriously pray and consider and ask God, does he want you to be a part of that core group? And I'm also excited to be able to kick off this new year with this new teaching, Fully Charged. As we think about this, our teaching team got together, and as we were seeking God, asking God, you know, God, what is it that you want us to do? And as we were trying to frame this, we thought, as we sat around the table, we were like, you know what? It's been a long 2 years, and a lot of people, including us sitting at the table, feel like this a lot, right? We just feel drained. We just feel like, ugh. And so we're seeking and asking God, what is it that our church needs to be reminded of? Because we feel so drained. I mean, come on. You know, we thought we just got over the hump with COVID, right? You know, like we weren't having to wear the silly masks and all that kind of stuff. And now all of a sudden we're back in that where we're they're asking us when we're in larger gatherings to wear these masks and. You know, COVID, you know, it's always been real, but this time around, it's a lot more real. It's a lot more real for me and my household because it hit our household this time. It has taken the life of people that we love and that you loved. And so it's just like, we thought we were through this already. You see, life is hard enough. I mean, just doing life without COVID, it's hard enough, right? And then you add COVID on top of it, and it's easy to be here. It's easy to end up here. But God doesn't want us to live there. God wants us to live fully charged. And so as we thought about how do we frame this, we thought this imagery, because everyone has a phone, almost everyone has a phone, right? And in our phone, you know, our life, the culture that we live in, our life has started revolving around our phone. Many of you work from your phone. You'll make business calls. You'll send business emails. You'll check emails, right? I mean, you know how this, your phone in our culture, has become a hub in our life. So much so that in new construction, what do they start building? They start building these places where you can go and plug your phone into, right? And so much so, this has become a part of our hub, that if there's proper etiquette at the airport, right? They have these hubs where you can plug your phone in. And rule number 11 is just one device at a time. Why? Because not only do people want to charge their phone, they want to charge their iPad, and they've got their laptop, you know, and they're hogging all the power, right? And so they're like, they had to come out with proper etiquette at the airport. It's, you know, one device at a time. And then have you ever, parents, you've done this, I know you have, you've gotten a great deal. You saw a great deal on a cord, right? And you saw this, it's so much cheaper to buy this than those white Apple ones, right? Oops, am I allowed to say that out loud? But the white cords, right? And then you go and buy this, and your kids, students, you know this is true, you've went to plug this in, and what has happened? You got that. Oh, this cable or this accessory isn't certified. It's almost like what it's saying is that you're using a counterfeit, you know, and they're trying to, you know, make you feel bad for using one that wasn't like theirs. But, and it won't charge. So I bought those kind of cords, and your phone literally won't charge because it feels like, or it's telling, that cord is telling it, you're got a counterfeit cord. And so many of us in our spiritual lives try to plug into some type of counterfeit power. Some of you are thinking that once I get that job promotion, and you got it, you thought that was going to be it. You were going to be satisfied. But then you had it for about 6 months, and then you were looking for the next job promotion. Right? You were looking for that contract. Man, if I can just sign that contract, I'm going to get that bonus, and oh my, then I'll be satisfied. And no sooner did you sign that one, you're looking for the next one. Because that didn't really fully satisfy. It didn't really fully charge you. Some of you do that in your relationships. You think, man, if I could just, you know, be in a relationship with him or with her, then That's what's going to satisfy. And you end up in that relationship with him or with her. And you're like, oh, this isn't what I thought it was supposed to be. You get out of it and you start looking for another one. We do that. Those are counterfeits of ways that we try to keep our life energized or charged up or empowered. And this happens in our lives in so many ways. And I know that we're all at different stages. That's why this graphic with this battery showing all the different stages. And some of you are, you know, you're fully charged. You're ready, man. You are ready for 2022. You are so ready for this. But as you will continue to do life in 2 weeks, because life is just hard, it will drain you. And you will soon find yourself here. And you need to find, where is it? What is it? And that's what we want to look at today. The big idea for today is this. Life is draining, so plug into the source of life, not a counterfeit. And we know from the scriptures that the source of life is Jesus. So let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Will you take your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's what we're going to try and do today. We've got a lot to pack in here today. We're trying to set the context for this letter that Paul writes. We're trying to talk about the Holy Spirit, and we want to talk about fasting. So, a lot to get to, but I know you can do it. I know South County, you're up for this, and so I know that you're in this with me. So here we go. So 1 Corinthians, the context here, this is a letter that's written by the Apostle Paul. He writes this, Paul plants this church, and see in the red, Corinth. It's like this major metropolitan city for its time. You know, they're thinking they could have had as many as 200,000 people in population. station there, a center for commerce because of its strategic location, and it is a cut through from one sea to the other sea. And so, and they, it's Greek, and so they have all the Greek gods, you know, all the philosophy, you know, all this intellect, you know, that they actually became an idol in their time. But there was this temple there, the temple of a goddess whose name was Aphrodite, who, you talk about just so far removed from where God is, they had up to 1,000 temple prostitutes there that they would go and do this type of worship, worshiping. That's Corinth. That's the type of city. So Paul shows up there, plants this church by, with a small handful of people, and then they just started sharing. They started sharing this message of God. It continued to grow until it was this church. Well, Paul leaves that church at some point, and then he ends up over in Ephesus. And so that's that yellow dot on the graphic there. And that highlighted yellow area is where Paul is at as he writes this letter of 1 Corinthians. So he's over here approximately 3 years later. He's writing this letter back to the Corinthians. Why? Why? Because he had heard there were some problems in that church. Here's some of the problems in the church at Corinth. There were divisions. Imagine that. That people didn't agree with each other. That people, had different opinions about it, and they couldn't get along, right? So I know that we could never imagine that around here in the 21st century. So, but there were divisions in the church. There were sexual sins. There were sexual immorality. There were lawsuits. Christ followers suing each other. There were problems in marriage. There were problems in worship gatherings. That's never happened, right, before? That where people would think that there's only one way to worship, right? Well, there were problems in worship gatherings. There were abuses with spiritual gifts. There were idol worships going on with this pride of an intellect, of wisdom and thinking. Wisdom is what ruled the day. And this letter addresses all these issues. And over the next couple of months, we'll be going through this letter, looking at how Paul instructs the church at Corinth of how to handle these types of things. And along the way, see, what happened is that they got sidetracked. They got sidetracked with a counterfeit source of power. They forgot that it depended upon the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's jump in. Let's start with verse number 2. So Paul's saying, hey, I'm writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did for all people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So right out of the gate, Paul is reminding them, you know what? You're holy. You are considered holy to God, not because of your intellect and your wisdom and all this that you think that you brought to the table. You're not holy because of how good you think that you lived your life and how much you straightened up your life. He says you're made holy by the means of Jesus Christ. He's reminding them of this basic spiritual principle and truth, and that is you and I are made holy in the sight of God, not because you go to church and not because you try and live a good life and that your good outweighs your bad. No, you are made holy in the sight of God because of Jesus, period. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross, and he took the form of the payment for your sin upon that cross. And because of that, God can look at you through the filter of Jesus and see, oh, my goodness, they are holy because they put their faith and trust in what Jesus did on the cross. So he starts off that way, and then he goes on and he says in verse 4, I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ. Now, the NLT, for some reason, has chosen to, and for reasons beyond my pay grade, they've chosen to translate gracious gifts. The ESV and NIV uses the word grace of God. And that really does better reflect, I think, because only, and here's why I say that, because in my mind, and maybe it's just because of the way I'm reading this, when I read gracious gifts, I think immediately my mind jumps to spiritual gifts. And that's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about the gift of the grace of God. And maybe it's saying it in this way. Maybe they chose to translate it this way because of gracious gifts, plural, because every one of those Corinthian people who had received Jesus as their Savior had the gracious gift of grace in their life. They had that gift in them. And notice, and he's speaking, you have this now that you belong to Jesus Christ. So the gift didn't show up until you received Jesus. And that so is in parallel to what Jesus teaches us. Jesus' own words in John chapter 14. Remember this, just hours before Jesus would leave the disciples and go lay down his life on the cross, he gathers the disciples together and he tells them, I'm going to leave you. And they're all freaking out. The chapter starts out, don't let your heart be troubled. You know, you believe in God, believe also in me. So he's saying that because they're freaking out because Jesus is saying, I'm leaving you. And then he says, hey, I'm leaving you, but you'll see me again, but then you won't see me. And they're just like, what are you talking about? And then he says this. He says, I will ask the Father, meaning Jesus, these are the very words of Jesus. Jesus says, I'm going to ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. So this idea of advocate is actually the Greek word of paraclete. And the idea of paraclete is that he is going to give us the Holy Spirit. And you say, how do you know that? Because Jesus goes on to say, to name him in verse 17. He is the Holy Spirit. This advocate, this one who will come and be with you, this one who will never leave you, like I'm going to leave you. Well, this one will never leave you. And this one, the Holy Spirit, he has a name because he is a person. He's not a force. Listen, he's not a force to be known, or to be reckoned with. He is a person to be known. The Holy Spirit is a person. Do not think of the Holy Spirit as like the Star Wars, force be with you. No, the Holy Spirit is a person. And Jesus calls him by his name. He is the Holy Spirit. He's the third person of the Trinity. It is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, is going to lead you into all truth. I'm leaving, but you're not by yourself. You're going to have the Holy Spirit. He's going to be in you. The world can't receive him. This is a gift only for Christ followers. Remember back in the letter that Paul wrote, once you belong to Christ, you have this gift. What's the gift? The world doesn't know this. See, people who have not placed their faith in the person of Jesus Christ, they have not received this gracious gift. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now. See, they had experienced the Holy Spirit when they were with Jesus. They saw the power that the Holy Spirit gave Jesus to do ministry on the earth. And they themselves had experienced that power to be able to practice the way of Jesus here on this earth. But then he says this. Later, he says, he lives with you now, with you, big difference. But later, he's going to be in you. He's going to be like inside of you. The Holy Spirit, what Jesus was speaking to is when after the resurrection, see, the Holy Spirit couldn't come to live inside of us until after the resurrection. After the resurrection, Jesus comes back. He looks at the disciples. Remember, he was here on earth for 40 days or 50 days. And he looks at them and he says this to them. He says that you need to go back to Jerusalem and you wait. And you wait there. And you wait there until the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you so that you can be my witnesses. And then when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you are going to witness like crazy. So now there's this group of 120 praying and they are waiting and they're praying. They're waiting and they are praying. And then what happens in Acts chapter 2? The Holy Spirit comes and descends upon them and he gives them God's power and in his presence inside of them. That at that moment, that's when the Holy Spirit would now do this, what Jesus said, that he will be in you. And from that point on, when a person would place their faith in Jesus, That's when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And that's why Paul said this. Paul said in his second letter, he wrote two letters to the church at Corinth. In his second letter, he puts it this way. He, meaning God has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So if you are a Christ follower, the moment that you placed your faith in the person of Jesus, the Holy Spirit entered into you. Now, you have a choice. Do you rely upon the Holy Spirit for your daily practicing out the way of Jesus, or do you rely on you? See, that's the source of power. Back to our text. Through him, God has enriched your church in every way. Why? Because each of these people had the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them. And because when you come together, if you're gathering in Lincoln, if you're gathering in South County, or gathering right here, when you come together and gather as the church together, you are enriched in every way. And then Paul speaks specifically to the church at Corinth. Hey, we know that you guys have eloquent, you guys are great orators. You know, the way that you can put together your sentence structure. Oh, my gosh. You know, it's amazing. He's like, your knowledge, the understanding that you have. Amazing. But don't forget where it came from. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and says, this confirms what I told you about Christ is true. Now that you have every spiritual gift you need, let me read that differently because I think the emphasis is different. Now, once you have the Holy Spirit inside you, you have every spiritual gift you need for what? For eagerly waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have everything that you need to live a godly life inside of you because of the Holy Spirit resides inside of you. Everything that you need in order to make right choices. Everything that you need in order to break the chain of sin in your life. You have everything that you need. And you have everything that you need in spite of what's going on in your culture to be eagerly anticipating the coming of Jesus. You've got everything you need. Do you live like that? See, you can tell whether or not you are charged by the Holy Spirit is if when you get up and you're thinking in the front of your mind, is today the day, Jesus? Oh, if it's not, let me make sure that I'm telling everybody that they matter. Let me make sure I'm telling everybody that crossed my path that I'm... Let me make sure that I respond to the people who even respond in an evil way towards me. Make sure that I respond in a way that would be practicing the way that you, Jesus, lived your life here on this earth. You see, when you are being empowered by the Holy Spirit, then you can respond in those ways. You say, you're saying an awful lot about that. You're getting off. Look at the next verse. He will keep you strong till the end. It's God. God's going to do this in you through the Holy Spirit, through His presence. God's presence is in you because of the Holy Spirit. And He will keep you strong to the very end. You have the possibility. Hey, some of you are fighting literally for your life. Some of you have gotten the worst diagnosis possible, and you're literally fighting for your life. He will keep you strong to the end. Some of you are fighting for your marriage. He will keep you strong to the end. Some of you are fighting through financial difficulties. He will keep you strong till the end. That's what He will do. You don't have to give in to temptation this year. You have the power residing inside of you. If you're a Christ follower, you have the power residing in you to be able to break the chain of sin in your life. You have it. It's, are you going to plug into it? Are you going to receive it? And then he says, God will do this. He will do this. Why? Because Paul is looking at a history. Paul is looking back at the history of God and how God had been faithful. He says he will do this for he is faithful to do what he says. You can trust that God will be faithful for you and that he will give you exactly what you need in order to live a godly life. He's promised to do that. And then we have this amazing invitation. Each one of us have this amazing invitation. He has invited you into partnership with his son. Doesn't that blow your mind? I mean, stop. Come on. Stop and think about this for a second. You personally have been invited into partnership with Jesus. You have been invited to live out the way of Jesus with Jesus. You've been invited to live that kind of life. And you've been given everything that you need in order to do it through the Holy Spirit. And think about Jesus's life. Think about how Jesus, the way that Jesus practiced his life, that's what you and I are called to live out. And the way that Jesus practiced his life, you'll find it in the Gospels. If you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those, you know, that's the story of Jesus' life, the way that he lived his life. You'll find in there, the authors will say, often Jesus would withdraw himself. He would go and just get alone with Jesus, or with God, his Heavenly Father. And then, when he starts out his public ministry, on his baptism day, when the Holy Spirit came up on him, what happens? The Spirit leads him. After the baptism, the Spirit leads him out into the wilderness to what? Fast. To fast. If we're going to be in partnership with Jesus and live the kind of life that Jesus did and practice the way that Jesus taught us to, fasting is going to be included in that in some way. So let's talk about fasting for a moment. Why fast? I've been reading two books about fasting recently. One of them read just like my old King James Bible, and it was so hard to get through. The other one was written in modern day English, and so I was able to get through it a little better. But here is why we fast. To respond to a serious sacred moment in our life. And the way that Scott McKnight, who on his book on fasting, the way that he said it is a grievous sacred moment. And I don't have time to get into all the history because my time is actually gone in 51 seconds. I changed the wording, but think that this is a serious sacred moment. That we want to create as a church, we want to create a serious sacred moment in our life to commune with God, to bring our body into unity with our spirit. Why? Because spirituality is holistic. We're just not spiritual with our Holy Spirit inside of us, just with our spirit or our mind or our soul. No, we are spiritual beings. We are spiritual with our body. The way that Scott McKnight talks about this in his book, he calls it body talk. And it's a way for our body to be unified with the spirit. And here is a way that you can understand what this serious sacred moment, or as the way Scott McKnight put it, a grievous, is because what we're trying to do is align our hearts to the way that God feels about whatever it is that you're fasting for. And do you realize that in the scriptures, the only fast that the Jewish people were required to in the law was the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. The only fast that was required. Once a year. And you know what the Day of Atonement was about? Fast because of your sins. Get your heart in alignment to the way that God feels about sin. And you know what? Sin breaks the heart of God. He grieves. I think some of us have the wrong mental image about sin and God. because probably the first image that you have about God that pops up into your mind about sin and God is probably more of an angry God ready to punish you. No, the first image that should pop into our minds is a God whose heart is grieved. God's heart is grieved because of Rick Moore's sin. It grieves the heart of God. We saw Jesus model that. Remember when Jesus sat up on the hill, when they just rejected him, he sat up on the hill, and what did he do? He wept for the people in Jerusalem. Why? Because of their sin of rejection. And it grieved his heart. Remember when Lazarus, his buddy, died? He cried. Why? Because death is sin, and sin grieves the heart of God. And I wonder if sin, as a Christ follower, does it make you grieve? If not, fasting will help bring your heart into alignment. If you offer it as a fast, God, I'm going to fast because of sin. And in fact, that's what I'm asking. I'm asking for that first week that the whole church would fast, that we would enter into, that we would offer a fast because of our sin, our personal sin, because of the sin of our state, because of the sin of our country, that we would try and align our hearts to the way that God feels about sin. Fasting defined, in the strictest sense of the word, it means 12 or 24 hours without food. 12 or 24 hours without food. Now, here's what we're asking the church. We are asking the church to fast from January the 10th through the 30th. Now, that's 21 days. Now, we're not asking you to fast that whole time period. Here's what we're asking you to do. That would be a huge leap, I know. We're just asking you to choose one day each week. So there's 3 weeks in there. Will you choose one day to do a literal biblical fast? Whether it's 12 hours or 24 hours. If you were Jewish and you were going to fast, you would start your fast typically at supper time. You would have supper, and then you would fast until supper the next night. So if that is, and let me say this, if you aren't on some type of medication that requires food, or if you are medically able to, we invite you to be a part of this. If you have questions around that, please ask your doctor, is this safe for my health? And I promise you this, if it's not safe for your health, if your doctor advises, no, you shouldn't be fasting, God knows your heart. You can still enter into a time of prayer through this, okay? So don't feel like you're being left out. But for all of those who are physically able to, will you choose one day over those 3 weeks, each one of those weeks, and whatever works best for your schedule, and start fasting? Will you do that? Will you join us on that? And then, one last thing, abstain from something for the entire 21 days. So choose something else for the entire 21 days that you're not going to do it. You know what? Maybe for some of you, it's social media, or for some of you, it could be Coke. And I mean Coca-Cola, right? Not the white powder stuff, all right? Just to be clear on that. So maybe, although you should be abstaining from that too, let me say that. That should be forever abstention, okay? But you choose one thing over those 21 days that you would actually abstain from. Why? Because it's a reminder that God calls us to live differently. He wants our hearts to be in tune with Him. There'll be more on fasting. Here's our next step. It says, I will start planning now for the 21 days of prayer and fasting. Will you do that? Because this is going to take planning on your part. You're going to have to think through your schedule. You're going to have to think through your food shopping. You're going to have to think through all of that kind of stuff. So will you start now? Because this is next. It just starts next week, next Monday. I will start planning now for the 21 days of prayer and fasting. Let us know. We want you to join in on us. So the other next step says, I am feeling drained. I need to plug into God's power. Each morning, I will invite the Holy Spirit to empower me as I depend on Him. Will you do that? Before your feet hit the ground, while you're still under the covers and the fan is blowing on you, right? You're like, Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I invite you in. and then you get out. And then you feel the fan blowing. See, this is why you should sleep with a fan, not just because of noise, but because you'll feel the wind blow on you. And in the scripture, the Holy Spirit is symbolic of wind. And so you got the wind blowing on you. You're like, oh, I need you, Holy Spirit. What a great reminder. Will you invite the Holy Spirit to empower you so that you can practice the way of Jesus on that day? Maybe there's just some other way that we can pray for you. Just write it on your connection card or text the word pray to 401-496-9710. Jesus, we need you. Holy Spirit, we are dependent upon your power. We know we can't do it in and of ourselves. So will you come? Will you teach us? Will you walk with us? God, will you do something in our hearts to align them to your heart so that we can become more like you, Jesus? Please, do your work here among us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.